today. We pray that, as the psalm says, that God inhabits the praises of his people. So we hope he does some inhabitation. Amen. All right, stand up. Here we go. And I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last through the night, the joy comes in the morning. I'm trading. You know, every 2 weeks we're going to repeat one to give you an opportunity to learn it. So since we can't do the whole week, but one of the things that you can do is listen to these on your own and learn them. We do this a lot for Kairos when we're doing music. So even though you may not have a book in front of you, listen to them because they're just great praise and worship songs. And this one's Blessed Be Your Name. This is one of the favorites we do in the prison, but every day we should say, blessed be the name of God. So, here we go. Blessed be in the
Good morning, Cooks.
Good morning.
You can be seated now. How is everybody? On behalf of the minister and the staff and the session, I'd like to welcome you to Cooks Church this morning. We joyously extend a very warm welcome to our visitors. I wanted to mention that on the way out, if you see one of our ushers, please ask them. They'll have some information for you. And we would like to contact you at a later date just to check back with you. We invite all the adults to join us this evening for the Bible study that is held every Sunday at 6 p.m. Our current topic is the heart of worship, and I think that's Fred and Jason lead that study. The flowers, the beautiful flowers for the Sunday for today is in remembrance of Jerry Sifford by Lynn and Marcia Sifford. I want to ask you that if you have time Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, meet in the fellowship hall because there's going to be preparation for the daddy-daughter dance. And this is going to be making decorations, setting up the tables, doing all the things that it's going to take to get that decorated and ready for that. And I understand there's a really good crowd already signed up to come. So come be a part of it. Are there any further announcements at this time? Okay, well, now we'd like for Fred Cox to come forward with a moment for mission. Have a great week.
Good morning. Hope I have more voice than that. I think I used it all up, Clayton. I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes about our wonderful Cooks Play School. Sharing and spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the best community outreach program we have, but Play School is probably the next best community outreach program we have. Our Play School has served the area and community for over 50 years. Listen to their mission statement. We believe each child is a child of God and should have every opportunity to develop physically, intellectually, emotionally, socially, and spiritually to their fullest potential. And they live up to this mission statement. They really do. You just need to come by sometime when Play School's in session and watch these ladies that love these kids so much work with them. And the kids love them back, too, and it shows. Currently, they have 11 staff members, including two directors, and the directors are Kelly Carter and Bobby Penninger. More than half of the 11 have been here over 10 years, and four of those have been here over 25 years. And full enrollment is between 68 and 72 students. It varies some. And we currently have 53 enrolled. And they have a minimum of two teachers per classroom. And a lot of the other play schools around here don't have that. They just have one. And the classes are usually bigger, larger than ours, too. Something to think about here. When people drive up down Mount Holly Huntersville Road, they see we have a play school. They probably think we make a lot of money off of that play school. We don't. We don't make a dime out of it. What the directors do is they put every bit of extra cash they have back into the program. And when I say we do that, it's really the great directors we have that are doing that. They make sure that that we consistently work toward improvements in the program. And they've always done this. They have always done this. And another thing, for a fact, in the last 30 years, they have never asked the church for any extra donations or any support. The church, of course, supplies the facility and the utilities, but Play School's budget covers all the other expenses, including insurance, payroll services, supplies for curriculum, and classroom improvements like furniture, rugs, cubbies, shelving, painting, toys. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And recently, they purchased a temporary drainage system for the basement. And they resealed and painted the basement. And the last couple years, they've made vast improvements on the play school. And now they do a fundraiser each fall, and it's the Trikeathon. And last year, they raised $9,850. And I thought, wow, this is great, you know. But just to show you how that money, they used half of that money just to reduce their deficit. And they will use the remaining cash to remulch the playground. So there it goes. That was it, you know. And now they shared something with us, with the missions team recently, that led us to have this moment for mission for them this morning. Last fall, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system started their own pre-K program. And their program is 5 days a week instead of four. And it's free. And if you ask, they will come and pick up your child and bring them back home. So that's hard to compete against. And can you imagine how that's affected not only our play school, but all the others in Mecklenburg County and surrounding areas? And so for this reason, we are currently 19 enrollment openings in our program. We're 19 short, and they're running a deficit of $4,875 per month. And the worst part about this is that the play school staff has had to take pay cuts recently. So all that to say this, play school needs our prayers now more than ever, and pray that more parents will look at us as an option for training and nurturing their children. And secondly, they could use our help financially. If the Lord lays it on your heart to help them with cash donations, just give what the Lord leads you to do and designate it for play school. You can either write a check to the church and put Cook's Play School on the memo line, or you can give directly to them. They are a 501c3 organization on their own, so you can give directly to Cook's Play School. And the third thing is just tell others about it. If you know some young people that have children, pre-K, tell them about this wonderful play school we have. Now, last, we can give throughout the year, of course, and I would encourage us to do that, but we would like to have a special focus between now and March 30th to give to play school. March 30th is play school Sunday, so it'll work out perfect if we do that. So let's just let's pray for them and love on them, and thank you, Lord, for continuing to bless our wonderful play school program. And now I believe it's time to pass the peace. Am I correct? Okay.
Hearts of those who have been freed through sin from Jesus Christ's loving death and sacrificial resurrection, we pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ with one another. Peace of the Lord be with you. Hey, girls, you doing okay?
Oh, I get you all, because I do it.
Yeah, bring
them
back. Worship with the call to worship.
Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the one whose sins
the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you're righteous.
Sing all you who are upright in heart.
Let us continue in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of life, the one who sent your Son so that we might be born anew. As we gather in your presence today, we marvel at the depth of your love, a love that reaches into our brokenness and calls us into the light of your grace. Open our hearts to your Spirit as we hear your word. Stir within us a desire to know you more deeply and to walk in the truth of your salvation. Let us be quenched with your living waters, Father God. May this time of worship remind us that in Christ we are made new and that may our lives reflect your glory. Be with us now as we seek to honor you with our praises and drawn closer to the heart of your eternal love. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, we make all these prayers. Amen. 1 John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. It's that reason we feel boldly compelled to come forward and confess our sin corporately and silently individually, because we know as we confess, we will not be met with God's condemnation, but instead showered with his amazing living water and grace. So let us confess deeply and truthfully using the words in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray. Merciful God, together as one people, confessing that we have fallen short in thought, word, and deed, forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, and renew our spirits, that we may walk in your ways. We humbly seek your grace and healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, it's with this great good news that I declare to you a wonderful and eternal truth. God's word will never change, never be swept away, never leave us, never forsake us. And what the word tells us is that by the waters of our baptism, we are a forgiven people. That God has chosen in his mercy and his love to shower us with his grace because he loves us so dearly. So friends, I declare to you this wonderful truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven this day and forever of your sin. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us affirm our faith using the words and singing the song of the Creed.
We believe in the Holy Spirit and He's.
please be seated. And at this point, we'd like to invite the kids that are in the fifth grade and younger to come and join us for a time that's just for them with Miss Petey.
Good morning, girls. How are you? Oh, I like those glasses. Those are so cute. Did you get something special on Friday from somebody? From anybody that loves you? Did you get Valentine? Okay, good, good. I'm glad you did. You know, Valentine's Day is a day to talk about love. And who else do you think loves you? Who do you think loves you more than anyone? More than mom and dad. Who could love you more? Jesus and God. Yes, ma'am. That is right. I have made some Valentines for you. On the front, it says that we are to love one another. But on the inside, it tells us who it is that loves us the most. God and Jesus. Okay? So, we'll get one of these, and I'm so glad that you got, somebody showed you love, and that it happens all the time. So, you going to pray with me? Dear God, thank you for giving us love. And let us love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our anthem today is Sing to the King. One of the other changes is the choir is going to be singing twice a month, and so the chorus that we are doing is going to be our benediction. So if you have heard that, that is not coincidence. That is intentional. So for the next 2 weeks, we will be doing a different benediction as we leave. So Sing to the King is not just an Easter song. It's a song that we can do every day because we can praise and adore our King. Amen? So that's what this is. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. But come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. We are His.
Sing to the King who is come.
Before we come into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, I want to just take a moment to highlight something that happened last week that was pretty extraordinary. Last week, as you are probably aware, those of you who were with us, I was feeling very sick. I was really recovering from the flu and really was depleted. And furthermore, I think I had on paper one of the worst sermons I'd ever written in my life. And I came in and I was feeling bad and I saw Clayton. And I said, "Clayton, are you ready to preach?" I was only half kidding. And he said, "Yeah, do you need me to?" And I did. As we all know, those of us who are here, we witnessed a really profound moving of the Holy Spirit. Because nobody preaches a sermon like that with 20 minutes and a choir to prepare too by themselves. So I want to highlight not only Clayton's faithfulness, but the work of the Holy Spirit in and through him that allowed us to profit in a new utterance of God's word. So let's just rejoice that God truly does bless us with so many people and so many blessings here at Cook's Church that we are truly, truly blessed. And I know I'm using that word quite a bit, but that's the best word that fits. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word. And as always, we do so prefacing things with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, we are parched. Our throats are dry, our mouths as well. We yearn for your living water. Pour it out on us this day, we pray, by this reading and proclamation of your word. Allow us to feel your presence and your glory ever more closely than before in this reading and proclaiming of your word. Bless us with your truth, guide us with your wisdom, and deliver us fully and totally into the loving arms of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who laid down his life for us and for our salvation. Illuminate this word, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today is Psalm 100. And by the way, I thought Clayton did a great job with the deviled ham running off the cliff last week. Shout to joy, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I made the decision early in the week, but did not convey it to the, unfortunately, to Alyssa, that I was going to read a little bit more of the passage. I think in today's bulletin we've got that I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm actually going to read John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. And I wish I really could transport you back in time to Pittsburgh, where I was so blessed one time to hear a woman read this very dramatically. The way that she expressed every word was almost like a sermon unto itself. And I pray that I can channel some of that because it's a significant passage because it meets us where we're at. We are this woman at the well in some real profound ways. And we need to see that and embrace its truth in order for us to find the healing in Jesus Christ that we so desperately desire. So now I read to you verses 1 through 26 of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. Join me now as we hear this word. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is ask you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave of the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was many years ago when I was in high school that we had a tradition. It was a bit of a tradition. Once a month at the high school that I went to, we met with our advisory groups. And our advisory groups, we were all led by one advisor, and we all met with that advisor and together. It was a way to kind of keep us on track and provide another group that we could latch on to. And early on, as you might have surmised already, we created a little bit of a tradition for ourselves. The deal was one of us, every morning of that advisory group, would go to the Krispy Kreme donut shop on South Boulevard and get a couple of dozen donuts. It was very specific. You got to get one dozen glazed and a dozen chocolate covered. That was the rules, right? The thing was, in order to do that, you had to wake up about an hour early. One morning, I didn't. The alarm went off. I had just enough time. I thought I would do something great. I went to the Harris Teeter and got some Krispy Kreme donuts. But then, as in now, the problem is the packaging gives it away. You know when you've got an authentic, real hot donut now by the box. The ones at the Harris Teeter have cellophane over them so you can see the donuts. The ones at the shop don't. So I brought these two dozen donuts to this advisory group, and they started a tradition, and thankfully it didn't end with me. It was a tradition that began with me but didn't end with me, and it was called the shunning. And for that day, none of your advisory group members would talk to you, and they would turn from you when you looked at them. We were a cruel bunch, what can I tell you? Bunch of math geeks. I think of that because it was a humorous experience of shame. It really was. I was being shamed for my mistake. But we meet a woman who is in shame today in our reading today. We get that by a couple of things, but namely by the time that she's at the well. It's the sixth hour, I think, is what they say in the Greek, but it's 12 o'clock. Now, this is hard for us to kind of reconcile because we live in a very temperate climate. But noon in that time and in that place in the ancient Near East was blistering. You stayed under the shade. People took the day indoors during the day during that season. because it was so hot. So for her to come, there has to be a reason. And Jesus is going to get into that a little bit. We need to know some things about the Bible to really extract everything that we can from this passage, because it is so rich in meaning and depth and metaphor for what we need to see. The first is these meetings at the wells have been significant throughout the Bible. This is a place where men often have met their betrothed. Jacob encounters Rachel at the well. Moses meets Zipporah at the well. And we meet Isaac's wife as she comes to a well. So as we understand our Old Testaments, we realize this moment is pretty pregnant with meaning. There's a lot here that is rich from the Old Testament that informs us as we read this. But there's also some social things going on that we need to be aware of as well. You know, last night, I believe the United States played Canada in a hockey match, and with tensions rising over these tariffs and things like that, apparently there was robust booing of the American squad. There's, unfortunately, right now some animosity between our nations. Hopefully it'll be resolved shortly. But it's the kind of animosity that doesn't really leave us too scared, them or us, because it isn't really hostility. Now, the differences between the Jews and the Sumerians at the time, there was quite a lot of real animosity. In fact, I think it's just within the 100 years of Jesus' life, there had been massacres on both sides. The Jews had massacred Samaritans, and the Samaritans had massacred Jews. So this was an active hostility. And yet Jesus wades into Samaria. He doesn't have to. He can get there a longer way. But we get in this moment the broadening of the gospel, that Jesus is in fact carrying the good news beyond the confines of Israel. And he does so as he meets this woman at the well. Now, she's an interesting woman. That Jesus would even talk to her is showing that he will break cultural taboos. First of all, at the time, it was not permitted for, well, it was not permitted, it was not socially acceptable for married men or men in general to talk to women. They separated as much as they could. So for Jesus to speak to this woman breaks a taboo in a real way. And also for him having been in Samaria is breaking a cultural barrier that is, in fact, a sad one that didn't need to occur. And finally, there was a strong tradition that rabbis did not talk about theology with people that weren't as learned. So there was also this belief that Jesus was doing something out of the ordinary and even talking about this material to her. But who is she and why is she at the well? There's many questions that we might have, but we think the fact of the matter is that she's at the well at noon because she's avoiding people. She's avoiding people because she has some shame over the number of husbands that she's had. Now, this is a very delicate line because Jesus is going to draw this into our awareness and to hers as well. And he doesn't do it to shame her. He does it merely to label her to see that he knows the fullness of everything about her. Jesus knows the fullness of everything about us as well, doesn't he? There's nothing that we've ever done, nothing that we ever will do, nothing that we can even conceive of that is somehow unknown to the mind of an unlimited, omniscient God. And this is important because as this woman comes in her shame, she comes in a late hour where the sun is blistering hot and she's just trying to avoid the talk of other people. I can associate this a little bit myself from a time when I went off to college at 18. I think I've shared with you before. I was actually 17, and I went to all of 6 classes in my first semester at Chapel Hill. Unsurprisingly, I was invited not to return the following semester, and it was a difficult time. And I can remember being home after it had gotten out to my family. And, you know, my family is very near and dear to me. And I deliberately missed holidays and events because I was just so darn shamed and embarrassed of myself. It was a difficult time. So I can understand why this woman would be a little concerned about what's going on. Jesus, however, really wants to know this woman and he says to her some things that really show he recognizes that she is thirsting not only for the water that she's there to get, but she's also thirsting spiritually. We also thirst spiritually, don't we, at times in our lives. We'd like to believe that our walk with Jesus Christ would be a straight line up, right? That God would sanctify us and just carry us right up to the peak of Christian perfection or something like that. But the fact of the matter is it doesn't work like that. The fact of the matter is our walk with Christ is more often a two-step forward, one-step back kind of relationship. We find ourselves gaining. But we can all, every one of us down to this truly, your pastor, can come into times of spiritual aridity or dryness, times in which we're parched and really desire the living water. Like this woman, it can often come as we get caught up in the day-to-day grind of our lives, as we get caught up into the 24-hour day that we hustle and bustle through. Sometimes it can come as we miss our relationship with Jesus Christ because we've got concerns that weigh upon us. But we can all get out of whack time to time. Because just as these relationships in the Old Testament begin at the well, so does one between this woman and Jesus Christ, and one that's instructive for us because it teaches us very clearly that God knows us and that in the depth of that knowledge, he knows everything about us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our faults, foibles, and follies. He knows them all because he is, in fact, our God. And yet the word, the strong word of the Bible, is that God doesn't reject us even though we so quickly reject him. Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But the woman still doesn't understand. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She is focused on the physical, and Jesus is trying to shift her to the spiritual. So what is living water? This is, again, something that is rich, a rich image in our Bibles, and especially in our Old Testaments. There are many mentions of this living water. I read one from Jeremiah chapter 2, 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God is telling them that the true source of life is him and that Israel had abandoned him for idols. And that's the point of what Jesus is saying. In Jeremiah later, it's written this, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Again, the fountain of God is the fountain here is entirely God, and he can lead us away from our spiritual dryness. Because just as this meeting at the well is the beginning of a relationship, so is our encounter with Christ the beginning of a relationship that has its ups and downs. It has its peaks and its valleys. But it is a relationship. A relationship is different than a master-servant kind of thing. It's reciprocal and loving. And Jesus has that kind of love for us in that he has died for our sin and has shared his Holy Spirit with us. But this living water is also to be the source of God's glory when on the coming day of the Lord. There we read in Zechariah 14, 8, 9, on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it east to the Dead Sea and half of it west to the Mediterranean Sea. In summer and in winter, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name will be the only name. Jesus isn't offering the woman well water. He's offering himself to her as living water, this living water that is such a rich image in our Old Testament. Jesus knows us completely and loves us anyway, and he comes to us in the most unexpected ways. He will break down any barrier or obstacle that stands in his way, whether it be cultural or social or even spiritual. He will come into our lives because he loves us, and he has chosen us. The word tells us before the foundations of the earth, God called our name and inscribed it in the book of life. We will never be forsaken. because the living waters flow all around us. The power and presence and glory of God is as near to us as our next breath because God is with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has shared his living water with us so that we'll never be parched. We may come into times in our lives where our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ is a little weak or a little faint, and our mouths might grow a little dry. But the Word tells us that even then, God is on the lookout for us. Because when we stray, what is the parable that we all go to but the one lamb that goes off from the flock, and God is even willing to come and get that one. We are safe in a place of joy as we experience the living waters of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we lift up the anxieties and concerns of our hearts to the Lord our God, knowing and trusting that he not only hears our words, but that he indeed answers our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be drawn together by your Holy Spirit to experience your love and mercy. Thank you for the gospel, Father God. Thank you for the not strong knowledge that even though we are imperfect, flawed, and fail at times, that your love is triumphant and victorious even over our shortcomings. Father God, we recognize that this is still a world broken by sin and that there are still things that go bump in the night that scare us, that give us concern and pause. We pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, lifting up today Norman Thompson, James Harper, Paige Benson, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith. We pray for the baby that got the glaucoma surgery. We pray for Bev Weldy, whose glaucoma has been miraculously healed. We pray, Father God, for all of those who are in need of intercessory prayers, thinking still of the victims in California from the fires and the hurricane victims in North Carolina. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all concluding with the prayer Jesus Christ taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. No matter where you might find yourself today, be alert for the presence of the Lord, for his living water surrounds us, and his joy is ever available unto us. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.
Jack.